Hi everyone, welcome to the Catholic Podcast, where we do a verse-by-verse exegesis of the scriptures. It's called Daily Gospel Exegesis, and it's produced by Logical Bible Study. That's the name of our ministry. So we're all about trying to help you understand the scriptures in a deeper, more academic, more rigorous way, but hopefully in a way that will help you understand the original meaning of the text a little clearer. And if we can do that, that will actually bring us closer to God and His kingdom. So today we're going to look at Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 to 32. Jesus said to the chief priests and elders of the people, "What is your opinion? A man had two sons. He went and said to the first, 'My boy, you go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not go,' but afterwards thought better of it and went. The man then went and said the same thing to the second, who answered, 'Certainly, sir,' but did not go. Which of the two did the father's will?" "The first," they said. Jesus said to them, "I tell you solemnly, tax collectors and prostitutes are making their way into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you, a pattern of true righteousness, but you did not believe him. And yet the tax collectors and prostitutes did. Even after seeing that, you refuse to think better of it and believe in him." So a really interesting passage for us to look at today. Let's start by thinking about the context. And the context here is really, really important. So Jesus has arrived in Jerusalem. It's the final week of his life. And the Jewish leaders are questioning him in the temple and particularly asking him about his authority, because they've just seen him enter Jerusalem triumphantly. They've seen him cleanse the temple. So they're saying, "By what authority are you doing this?" And in the previous passage, Jesus brings up John the Baptist as an example of someone they should have listened to. That's in verses 23 to 27. And you can hear an exegesis of that on Monday of the third week of Advent. And I would recommend that you go back and listen to that exegesis, because what he says today leads straight on from what he said in the previous passage about John the Baptist. So the context is actually very important. So today's passage is going to continue the theme of John the Baptist's message and his authority. In particular, Jesus has just asked them a question about John the Baptist. In the previous passage, he wanted to know their thoughts on John the Baptist, but they were quite evasive. They didn't answer the question. So Jesus now uses this parable today to expose their rejection of John the Baptist. Verse 28, Jesus said to the chief priests and elders of the people. So that's the audience. He's in the temple speaking to the Jewish leaders. "What is your opinion? Or what do you think?" That's an interesting way of starting, isn't it? But it was quite a common rabbinical way of teaching, is you would ask the audience a question. It's a signal that you're going to tell them a story and you want them to make a judgment about it. And Jesus is now going to tell the parable of the two sons. This one is only found in Matthew, so it may not be that familiar to many of you who are listening. The parable of the two sons. So in the parable, there's a man who has two sons. And he tells the first son, the oldest son, that's important, the oldest one, the one who gets the information first, to go and work in the family vineyard. This first son initially refuses. He says no to his father. Now, that would be pretty shameful in that culture, because you're supposed to honor your mother and father. And that's very, very clear in the Old Testament, particularly in the later wisdom literature. If you look at Sirach chapter 3, verses 1 to 16, which is in Catholic Bibles, it's a whole description of how and why you should honor your parents. So for a son to say no to a clear instruction from his father, that would actually be quite shameful. But in the parable, that son later thinks better of it and does what he's asked. Now, the word there, it's translated in our lectionary translation today as thought better of it. A better translation of that is actually repented. So the older son repented of his decision and does what he asked. That actually gives us a clue as to what the word repentance means in the New Testament. It means to completely reverse what you were doing and go back in the other direction. So it's an action. It means to do the opposite of what you were doing. So the first son repents and he does do what his father asked him eventually. The father then goes to the second son, and that second son initially agrees, and he actually addresses his father as Lord. but he doesn't actually do what he's asked. So he seems to show this reverence for his father because he calls him Lord and says, yes, I'll do it. But then he doesn't actually go and do it. So that's the end of the parable. And now Jesus poses this question to the Jewish leaders. Which of the two did the father's will? This sounds very similar to the parable of the Good Samaritan, doesn't it? Because remember, at the end of the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus asks which of these was a neighbor to the man. And here Jesus says, which of the two did the father's will? Notice what this parable is about. It's about doing the father's will. And we'll see exactly what that means in a minute. But that's the question Jesus wants them to think about. Which of the two sons did the father's will? All throughout Matthew, Jesus is constantly emphasizing that in order to get into the kingdom of God, one must actually do the Father's will, not just know about it or even say they're going to do it. They actually have to act on it. They have to do it if they want to get into the kingdom. That is very clear all through the Gospel of Matthew. Remember earlier on, he said, not just those who say, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, but those who do the will of my Father. So it's on the same topic. And this is what the Jewish leaders say. They say the first. Now, they're right about that. They get that correct. They correctly perceive that in the parable, the first son was the one that did the father's will ultimately, even though they didn't obey immediately. So what's the meaning of the parable? I think it's reasonably clear here. It's a short parable, and the Jewish leaders have perceived the basic meaning of it anyway. And Jesus is going to go on and tell us that it relates to the kingdom of God. So I think we can interpret the parable this way. The vineyard, that's a common Old Testament image for Israel. So the vineyard probably represents Israel. And certainly Jesus has already used the metaphor of a vineyard once. In chapter 20, he had a different parable about a vineyard. So if the vineyard is Israel, who is the father? Well, the father represents God. That's pretty clear. Who are the two sons represent? They represent different types of believers or different types of Jews in the covenant. In particular, the first son in the parable is a good model of the tax collectors and prostitutes because they eventually do the will of the father, even though they initially refuse, right? That's kind of like the first son. Initially, they're quite sinful, but eventually they do what God requires. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. And then the second son in the parable is a good model of the Jewish leaders who say they're going to do the will of the Father. In fact, the Pharisees and the other Jewish leaders, when they take their office, the whole point is that they want to do the Father's will and they say they're going to do it, but then they never actually do it. That's Jesus' view of the Jewish leaders at the time. So this second group then is reminiscent of those who earlier in Matthew, Jesus talked about a group of people who on Judgment Day, they call Jesus Lord, but they refuse to do the Father's will. You can see that in chapter 7, verse 21. And there's other similar passages too. So the two sons represent, the older son represents sinful people like prostitutes and tax collectors in that culture. And the second son who says they're going to honor God, honor the Father, but they never actually do it, that represents the Jewish leaders. So Jesus now says to the Jewish leaders, I tell you solemnly, or that can be translated, truly, truly, I say to you, or amen, amen, meaning Jesus is about to say something important. He wants them to understand it. And here's the very direct words he gives to them. Tax collectors and prostitutes are making their way into the kingdom of God before you. Now, in that culture, tax collectors and prostitutes were known as notorious sinners. They were considered by the Jewish leadership to be far from God. In fact, they're probably at the bottom of society from the Jewish leaders' perspective. They're the most far from God that you can be. And yet here, Jesus says that many of them, the sinners, are currently entering the kingdom of God much quicker than the Jewish leaders are. Now, that will be shocking and quite offensive for the original hearers. Jesus here is implying tax collectors and sinners who are well outside of covenant fellowship, they are entering the kingdom of God before God's appointed leaders. It's huge. That would be an amazing statement to say, and it would have shocked his hearers. Now, it's important here to say Jesus is not making a general statement about how all of human history will work. He's not saying that all tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God and none of the Jewish leaders will. That would be stretching it too far. What he's talking about is during his own lifetime. What's happening at the time he's speaking? Many tax collectors and prostitutes are hearing the message of the kingdom of God. Many of them are repenting and they're now living life according to God's will. They've changed their ways. They're no longer sinners. On the other hand, the Jewish leaders are hearing the message of the kingdom of God, but they're rejecting it, and therefore they're rejecting God's will. They're not repenting, and therefore they are missing the kingdom. So Jesus is providing a commentary on what is happening in his own ministry. Now, although this could refer to the preaching of the kingdom done by Jesus, as in how are these people finding out about the kingdom, maybe from Jesus, that would make sense. But Jesus actually goes on to tell us that he's thinking particularly of John the Baptist's preaching, as in John the Baptist was the one that preached the kingdom of God to both of them, and they had different responses to him. And here's how we know that. Verse 32, "For John came to you, the pattern of true righteousness," or more literally, "John came to you in the way of righteousness." So from Jesus' perspective, John the Baptist was clearly modeling a holy life and telling people how to do God's will and what the kingdom of God is all about. But you did not believe him. So on the whole, the Jewish leadership rejected John the Baptist. They did not like his message. They didn't agree with him. And you can see that earlier in Matthew as well. Jesus goes on, "But the tax collectors and prostitutes did believe him." And we know from earlier in the Gospels that many tax collectors and prostitutes did actually repent and turn to God after hearing John the Baptist's preaching. In fact, the Jewish leaders themselves admitted that earlier in verse 25. They did admit that that is the case. John the Baptist has converted many sinners. Jesus goes on, "But even after seeing that, you refuse to think better of it and believe in him." Or more literally, what he says here to the Jewish leaders is, "You refuse to repent and believe in him." Think about it. The Jewish leadership was aware that John the Baptist's preaching was causing many sinners to turn to God. They knew that. They admitted it. Well, Jesus says they should have therefore realized that John the Baptist was a genuine prophet. He's causing sinners to repent. So therefore, they should have listened to John the Baptist, and yet we know they didn't. That's Jesus' point at this particular time in his ministry. He wants them to really reflect on the fact that they should have accepted John the Baptist, but they didn't. So the implication here is that if the Jewish leaders do not repent, they will be left out of the kingdom when it comes in its fullness. And of course, that's all through the Gospels. Jesus is constantly warning the Jewish leaders that they're missing the point, they're missing the kingdom, and they need to repent. So that's the end of our text today. That then leads straight into verse 33 to 46, which is the parable of the wicked tenants. Very relevant to what Jesus has just been talking about. He launches straight into the next parable. You can hear that next part on Friday of week 2 in Lent, and it's well worth listening to. So Friday of week 2 in Lent. Let's now turn to the Catechism to see what it has to say about John chapter 21. What can we learn from it? What does it tell us about Catholic teaching? Firstly, paragraph 546, this is about the proclamation of the kingdom of God. Jesus' invitation to enter his kingdom comes in the form of parables, a characteristic feature of his teaching. Through his parables, he invites people to the feast of the kingdom, but he also asks for a radical choice. To gain the kingdom, one must give everything. Words are not enough, deeds are required. And that last line there of the paragraph pretty clearly maps onto Jesus' parable here. He says that only those who do the will of the Father will enter the kingdom. And then there's a brief reference here in paragraph 535 about Jesus' own baptism by John the Baptist. It says, "Jesus' public life begins with his baptism by John in the Jordan. John preaches a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. A crowd of sinners, tax collectors and soldiers, Pharisees and Sadducees, and prostitutes come to be baptized by him." So there we have a list of people who did come to John the Baptist, and among them are tax collectors and prostitutes, the ones that Jesus names today. We often don't think about the significance of John the Baptist's ministry, but very clearly he had a very effective ministry in bringing people into the kingdom in preparation for Jesus, who is going to bring the fullest revelation of that kingdom. Hopefully you learned something new from today's podcast. The Gospel of Matthew is fascinating, particularly some of these parables that are only found in the Gospel of Matthew. If you think there's other people that would love to hear this, who would benefit from it, then please share this episode with them, and we'll continue looking at the Gospels in the coming days.